Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. Three-time Grammy Award winner Sean Colvin stands out as a singular and enduring talent. Her songs are slow-release works of craft and catharsis that become treasured lifetime companions for their listeners. As a storyteller, Colvin is both keen and warm-hearted, leavening even the toughest tales with tenderness, empathy, and a searing sense of humor. Colvin's new memoir is Diamond in the Rough, and Colvin will be performing songs from her catalog this weekend at the Ridgefield Playhouse in Ridgefield, Connecticut, and the Beersville Theater in Woodstock, New York. I spoke with Colvin about her life and music and how she begins her book with her Grammy-winning song, Sonny Came Home.
Well, for the ones that don't know me from the other work I've done, I thought it would be nice to put it in context.
Just lay it all out there.
Fire.
You essentially grew up in South Dakota. And for all intents and purposes, I mean, you had a very loving family and a stable childhood.
Yeah, typical small town childhood. Safe, consistent, full of family, friends. Yeah.
And then when your father decided to get his doctorate, you moved around a little bit more. And that's when you started to kind of retreat into yourself, but other things started to manifest in terms of depression.
Yeah, they did. Kind of concurrently, I began to have real problems with anxiety and depression when I was around 12, although we didn't know what to call it. So I just stayed anxious most of the time. And one of the ways I dealt with it was by playing the guitar. I had learned guitar when I was 10, and that soothed me. So I really depended on the guitar and singing in my room to calm me down.
And there's that wonderful image of you saying that the guitar was always there at the end of your bed.
And it was.
Aside from that, I mean, you wouldn't go to school because you just hated it so much that you would hide away and you would ditch. But, I mean, you weren't doing bad things at all. You were just kind of retreating into your own world.
That move to Illinois just put me in a tailspin, and I could not manage it. I would get to school and be just ultra anxious. I mean, that's the main word for it, frightened, anxious, out of place, unbearably out of place and anxious, to the point where I would make excuses to go home, and for a while they worked, and then they didn't work anymore, and yes, I would just leave school and play hooky, but I didn't play anything. I walked around my neighborhood and hid in my special hiding places.
But then luck would have it that there were other girls that befriended you, even though you kind of walked to your own drum when you had to be at school. And they also loved music, and you were able to bond over that and singing together and playing guitar together.
Yeah, I did. I was in seventh grade when I had those troubles. By eighth grade, I had made some friends. By freshman year, my identity to my schoolmates was really that of a musician. And yeah, I was drawn towards more people that played the guitar and sang, and that was our little group.
You say several times in the book that you have an addictive personality, and that with your anxiety and your depression, that when you would find that love of your life, you would just become all consumed by it. And the same thing when it came to drinking as well.
Yes, I think it's a form of self-medicating, maybe not for everyone, but it certainly treated my anxiety quite well until it didn't work anymore. But, you know, I definitely am and was addicted to alcohol. So whether I was self-medicating or not, and I believe I was, I did cross a line where I couldn't stop. It was necessary for me to drink on a daily basis and depended on it and didn't know what else to do. But it was making me sick. So I was caught between a rock and a hard place.
And then something clicked, and we hear that in Diamond in the Rough.
Yes, things began to click. I had moved to New York City, and a lot of things happened to me there that really define my coming of age and adulthood. Getting sober, meeting musicians that would change my life, meeting friends that I still have today.
And one of those friends and musicians is your first producer, John Leventhal.
Yes.
Who has worked with you on several albums, but there is a moment in the book where after you have decided to part ways romantically that he comes to your place and he just sees you and he begins to cry because he realizes that you have grown up and you are changing.
Yes, our relationship started prior to my sobriety, so he saw a lot of turmoil in me, and it took its toll on the relationship. So by the time I was working on getting sober, there was a lot of conflict between us, a lot of misunderstanding, damage, if you will, so that the relationship couldn't survive. But I guess when we had finished our first record and he did come over to see me and I was in a much better apartment than I had been in when we were a couple, I think he, you know, people don't change much, and I had changed somewhat. I believe that's so. And it was moving to him.
It's interesting how you, and I would assume it's just what happens over time, but how you've morphed over time, how your music has morphed over time, and how much of your soul you put into each of your songs, depending on what has happened in your life, and how in your memoir, how you wrote down a couple little lines and then, you know, it felt right to write a whole song about it.
Yes, it was a slow process for me to really become a songwriter that wrote things that really resonated with me and I could stand behind and say, well, I've found my niche, you know, I know my voice now as a songwriter. And, you know, I just, as far as putting your soul into a song, I mean, that's what artists do, you know, to a certain extent. It's a very needed form of expression to most of us, no matter what, whether we're painting or acting. But craft enters in, too, and that's kind of a really nice alchemy, you know, when you have desire and passion and you begin to understand craft as well. And that's part of what happened to me and I think enabled me to write some good material.
I'd have to agree. And in your 2006 album, These Four Walls, you have that song Summer Dress. And throughout
right.
the novel, we're getting how much you love clothing, how much it means to you. But it's just, it's such a hopeful song.
It is, yeah. And it doesn't have specifically to do with the, it's not specifically to do with the dress, but I did have on a dress when I started the song that was a summer dress. I do like clothes, so there was an inspiration there. The character in the song kind of casts off the provincial thinking of where she's lived and decides to do more than survive, enrich her life somewhere else.
You are very candid in your memoir. That's what obviously fans and readers hope for when they read a memoir. Was it hard for you to write it all down and then put it out there knowing that millions of people are going to read every nook and cranny of your life, good or bad?
It wasn't hard to write. I mean, it's my experience, and to tell it while I'm not a writer of prose, whatever you want to call it, that part was difficult to actually make sense of that medium, you know. But it wasn't hard to write about. It was my story, and I knew it well. But then, yeah, when time came to say, well, let's put it out there, I got a little squeamish. But I'm willing to speak frankly about things. I always have been. I think in part because the frankness of others who have suffered tough times, that's really helped me the most. You are loved by friends and family, but it's those that have really gone before and experienced what you are experiencing can tell you, yes, they felt that way too. Yes, they came out the other side. They did it. And I'm hoping that my story will help someone else too.
Well, Shawn Colvin's memoir is A Diamond in the Rough, and she will be in our area on two nights, Friday, June 22nd in Ridgefield, Connecticut at the Ridgefield Playhouse, and on Sunday night at the Beersvale Theater in Woodstock, New York. Shawn, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your attention and your interest. I appreciate it.
Again, Shawn Colvin's memoir is Diamond in the Rough, published by William Morrow. And she'll be at the Ridgefield Playhouse in Ridgefield, Connecticut, Friday, June 22nd, and on Sunday, June 24th, at the Beersvale Theater in Woodstock, New York. For more information, you can go to WAMC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. She's